Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 118, episode 1 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, and fuck Bloomberg 2020. Those are all people who have tried to advertise on this show.
Otherwise,
we would love it. Yeah. Yeah.
If they weren't trying to advertise.
We love what they stand for, just don't try and advertise. Yeah. Come on.
Because it's straight capitalism.
Straight up. It's Monday, January 27, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. When the moon hits your eye like an impeachment pie, that's amore. Got cold brew set aside for the Zamboni ride, that's amore. Miles of gray and a Hosnier, and it's safe to say that we got O'Brien. Taco Bell, get a Mexi Melt, fuck the Cokes as well, it's the Daily Zeitgeist, courtesy of at Fickle Mister, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I'm all out of shake, this is how I deal, so sober I am shamed, scraping resin from my bowl. I should have bought a vape, but I'm so arboreal. I can't bake and I can't see the perfect high forlorn. Oh no, ED, when I'm watching some porn. Watching some porn.
I'm trying to take a journey with your character in that song.
So I was trying to twist up a blunt, right, and I realized I had no herbage.
Okay.
So then I'm like, oh, I got to do the scumbag thing. You're scraping, you're hitting resin bowls.
Right. I'm all out of shape.
Scraping out, yeah. Scraping the bowl. And then I'm like, damn, if I had a vape, I could hit that. But because I'm arboreal, I like the plants.
I love it. Then you realize you have ED, or you realize you don't have ED because you realize you're watching porn.
Whoa, no ED?
Fact.
Wait. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just confused by that journey.
Look, man,
is
you were smoking. You were so high.
Is it excuse me while I kiss the sky or excuse me while I kiss this guy? Who knows, man?
You just said the same thing, bro. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious artist, Kim Winder.
A.K.A. the Red Dot Comic.
Yeah, the Red Dot Comic. Let him know.
Yeah.
Let him know.
Fantastic comics.
Kim.
Hi.
Hi. It's great to have you back. You were about to say something, and then I interrupted you.
Oh, well, I'm just very impressed by your singing abilities. Both of you have grown.
Crushed it, right?
Thank you.
Grown
since
your last year.
Well, you're on note now.
Thank you. For I'm on some notes.
Notes. Well, he has the same vocal coach, or someone who worked with Gladys Knight is your vocal coach, right?
Yeah.
You've been putting in a lot of time
for
those vocal lessons.
Uh-huh.
So.
Just drinking nothing
good.
But lemon and honey.
To keep your vocal cords going?
Nice and rich, you know? Well, Kim, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. Jared Leto is older than Lev Parnas. That's a thing
we'll have to talk a lot about that.
I don't know how that's possible, but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that.
It's the truth.
We're going to talk about impeachment.
We're talking about
Pete Buttigieg's bread scandal from the New York Times endorsement interview, which is old news, but also it's just, I feel like he's now fading. And I feel like it's worth talking about why. What's going on with that man? And also, what's going on with that man, Rudy Giuliani?
Oh, he can't
stop.
He
was on Fox and Friends. Rudy can't stop. The Saints, the NFL team, was conspiring with the Catholic Church somehow?
Call it consulting.
Consulting.
To hide priest abuse?
Isn't that conspiring at that point?
When you're hiding sexual abuse? I don't know. Yeah, it's dark either way.
We're going to talk about the parking lot pooper.
Brought to justice.
Boom.
Finally.
You'll love to see it.
One of the most satisfying mugshots, upsetting, but, you know, depending on how you feel about the parking lot poop.
Yeah, and your right to defecate on someone's property.
He was just trying to fertilize, bring out, the
excuse
weeds.
Excuse me, don't be so gender normative.
I'm sorry.
She.
Then to hell with her.
Oh, that makes it worse.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the mugshot. It looks like someone who knows they've been caught pooping a bunch.
Yeah. Poop-based crimes are embarrassing, it looks like.
Just shitty, really.
Hey. Best of wins. We're going to look ahead at some of the pop culture from 2020. And all of that and more. But first, Kim, we like to ask our guests, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Recently, passports.
Passports?
Yes.
Fleeing the country?
Yeah.
That's the plan. Mm-hmm.
Get some fakes?
Yeah. Tax evasion.
Uh-huh. Hey, the American way.
Hey, artists gotta eat.
Yeah.
But so I changed my name back to my maiden name, Winder, because, you know, yay divorce. And
divorced? You got divorced?
Yeah.
Is that recent?
Sorry, Jack.
Sorry, I went down the wrong path.
Didn't mean to disappoint you.
I just didn't know we had.
I'm on my second marriage. I got married at 19.
Oh, okay.
First time around. So it's,
we knew that.
Wait, which divorce is this? Are you currently married?
Yes, I'm married.
Happily? That's the divorce.
No, I'm
happy. That's not the divorce.
You got your first one finalized.
Okay, so.
I'm sorry. I'm like Oprah. I got to dig in.
Yeah, it was a time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, so when I got my first passport, it was under my old married name.
Got it.
So going back to Winder has been just a huge-ass process.
Uh-huh.
And so we plan on going to Mexico in the next few months. And I just need to get my name back. So
I just want my name back.
I just want my name back.
That's what you should say in the court. Just get there and be like, I just want my name back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I think that's how you apply for it, right?
Pretty much. After the passport photo at CVS, you just start crying.
Yeah.
And they,
like everyone else at CVS.
Exactly.
To fit in at first.
Yeah.
But then, yeah.
Where are you going to Mexico?
I have no idea.
Hey,
we're just going to check out some tequila distilleries.
Oh, wow. Y'all like tequila, mezcal?
I like mezcal.
I love mezcal.
It's nice and it's smoky and
it
just kind of hangs out and has a mellow vibe. But my hubs is in the cocktail industry.
Got it.
So this is a quote-unquote work trip.
Hell yeah.
That I am just going to observe. But I had no idea how to renew my passport online because it's so like bureaucratic and they don't want you to fuck up, but then you just mail it and you just wait 6 to 8 weeks and hope for the best.
Yeah, yeah.
I just found myself checking again and again and again.
Or I had to renew mine recently. I panicked. Had to go to the federal building last minute.
Oh, really?
And I waited in a line that like stretched the length of Westwood.
I would rather do that than hope for the best at my post office, but it's just a huge-ass drive
for me personally. Yeah. Right. No, I get that.
But I find it ironic that they want it to the T, but then you just have to sit and wait.
Right.
And
hope we'll get to it. Right. Don't worry.
Yeah.
6 to 8 weeks. You're good.
Yeah.
Changing your name is very difficult. It's a whole process that requires many, many boxes checked. And you'd think they'd have it down because a lot of people change their name after marriage, change their name back. But it is not an easy process.
Yeah, I know. Raphael, or I mean, Jack, when you changed your name.
Jack.
Jack.
Jack O'Brien, right? Uh-huh. So stupid. Kim, what is something you think is overrated?
Overrated? Okay, so asking around, I was told it was too edgy to say organized religion, so I'm going to go with Instapots.
That's too edgy?
It's too edgy, apparently.
What year is this? 1960? I mean,
first she talks about divorce, now she doubts my organized religion? Come on!
I'm going to Mexico.
Yeah,
I'm just
burning all the bridges behind you.
So you said Instapots are overrated.
Oh, definitely.
Why is that?
Well, they're great. You can cook a full chicken in like 45 minutes, but it tastes like boiled chicken. There's none of that like slow cooker flavor that they advertise.
Oh, okay. So you're saying versus a slow cooked chicken versus...
Yeah.
Are we narrowly just looking at chickens in Instapots?
No, everything.
Wow.
It's all just... You're dumping it in there, you're pressurizing it, and then you're eating it 20 minutes later. Yay, but it's... I'd rather take the time and cook or starve.
Wow. Old school.
Yeah.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Take the time and cook or starve.
What do you like to cook in a slow cooker normally?
Well, I actually just got a sous vide.
Pardon us, Chef Boyarwinder.
But right now I've been playing with an artichoke recipe, but you have to cook it for at least like 4 to 5 hours.
An Instapot?
Not in the Instapot.
Oh, okay.
In the sous vide.
I was going to say, a sous vide artichoke. Damn.
Yeah. No, it's really, really good with like a lemon garlic butter sauce and then pair it with duck breast. Boom.
Now, wow. I know what a sous vide night is, dinner. But what for the listeners, what is a sous vide?
Oh, a sous vide basically looks like a vibrator wand that you put in a pot with water.
With the water.
Mm-hmm. And then you just let it be temperature controlled to cook for 5 to 6 hours or whatever.
Yeah, you just circulate the water to a specific temperature to get your meats to that without any moisture loss.
Yeah, keeps it incredibly tender. And then you can sear it and a lot of sauces you can make in there.
I feel like it's always on sale on the internet. Like people were pushing sous vide like immersion wands. So like, I feel like every week it's like, dude, the fucking killer sous vide thing, it's half off right now.
Nice.
But I never get it.
Totally honest, I had no idea what it was until Starbucks got their like little
sous vide egg bites.
Oh my God, yes.
Yep. Love, shout out to the Greer Bacon.
What are sous vide egg bites?
Oh, Jack.
What?
You have a loving household where people probably make food in the house where I'm wandering half hungover, like, is there eggs here?
They're great hangover
food. Door
to
door.
On the go.
Sous vide egg.
Hello?
Are there eggs here?
That fucking guy again.
He's asking for eggs again.
Go to fucking Starbucks. Why? They never had eggs. Yeah, they have.
Are they scrambled eggs? Whole?
Kinda.
Okay.
Like the consistency, but like a lot smoother.
Okay.
Creamy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then they have Gruyere cheese and bacon. I actually had it on the way here.
Boom.
Really?
Yes.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm. I am.
What is something you think is underrated?
Bulldog muzzles. Now, bear with me. I took
like a muzzle for a bulldog?
Yeah. So I have two dogs. I have a Yorkie and a bulldog.
Okay.
And our bulldog, Lucy, has severe anxiety. Like she meets new animals and she freaks out. And we're getting her trained and doing personal things. But when we visited my family in Nevada, they have horses, goats, dogs, everything.
Right.
So we wanted her to have like chewies. And then we got her a muzzle just in case. because she's just never been around those animals.
Gotcha.
So when I Googled the picture for bulldog muzzles, it's not normal muzzle like you would put on a dog with a longer snout.
Right, right, right.
They're these
looks
masks.
Looks like a catcher's mitt or a catcher's mask.
Oh, that's what that's. I always thought that
like
was a joke.
Hannibal Lecter mask.
Oh,
I love
shit.
It.
Yeah, whenever I saw photos of that, they're like, look at this Bane dog. And I'm like, that's fucking tight, whoever made that for their dog. And I'm like, right, that makes sense. They're like nearly snoutless.
Yeah, because I made the mistake of getting a normal training muzzle and it wouldn't stay on her face
because
it's so smushed. But we got her the mesh one, and already with the breathing problems and her just shaking, it's terrible.
Right.
But it's also adorable.
Right. Yeah, they're really
it's terrible
cute.
For her.
There's
but
also
I love
the
it.
catcher's mask one, or like umpire.
That one looks more like the Bane one.
Right.
And I didn't like those because those it just.
I think they're cool.
In the darkness.
Like, I would rather wear that, but yeah. I'm also not trying to look adorable and sit on people's lap. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that right man now. Again trying to sit on my lap.
I'm not doing that right now, I should say. Give me a couple hours. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
So the serpent in the story with Adam and Eve is never actually the devil in the Bible. It's only in Paradise Lost as a plot device. And so most people just assume it's Satan as the serpent, but in reality it could be a Voldemort's snake.
Yeah. No, that's interesting.
Wait, it's this. Well, who's the devil? MTV?
The devil was inside you all along.
Oh my God.
So in the Bible, there is a serpent that arrives.
Yeah.
In the Garden of Eden.
Yes. That tempts Eve to eat the apple.
Right. Okay. Because women are responsible for everything bad.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
According
and to the Bible. And God kicks him out because God likes androids.
Right.
That's a really bad joke. But in Paradise Lost, John Milton uses that opportunity to embody Satan.
Right.
So
and it's like one of the great characters in literature.
Yeah.
It's like this Satan who's like conflicted and he's like, I'm evil, but I'm it really sort of predicts like the thing that happens with movies where like the bad guy is more interesting than the good guy.
Right, right,
exactly.
Because
yeah, like Satan in Paradise Lost is so much more interesting than like anything else going on.
Than the fallen angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is.
What I mean, is there a VH1 behind the Bible about the snake who's like smoking a cigarette like, man, you know, they've done the fucking Paradise Lost made me the fucking devil, man.
Just so, promoting fruits and vegetables.
I do want. So, are there alternate interpretations? Like, are they just like, no, it was just a straight up snake?
Hey, so don't fuck with snakes, man.
That's the point of that.
That was the whole point of that story. I don't know where the fuck y'all got this other shit. It was an anti-snake story.
Right. I was just trying to tell you, I'm not fuck with snakes.
Y'all are just
and
reading
now
way
look
too
where
deep
we
into
are
shit.
With the coronavirus.
Yeah. Right.
Which has been, I think, actually debunked. We were talking about that.
I was wrong.
Really?
Yeah, there was a thing, like, we were talking about it yesterday that it came from snakes, but there's a couple, there's many scientists who are a bit dubious.
Right.
Who are like, I don't know about this. Because I think it was one report had that, and you know, like, with these days, people who are quote-unquote journalists, you know, like us.
Right, exactly. Just
regurgitate it verbatim.
Yeah. I'm still sticking with my gut on this one, man. That shit came from snakes.
All right, based on the Bible, man.
Yeah,
hey,
based
man,
on the Bible.
Hey, based on the Bible, I'm
based
looking at right here.
Based on what my Bible tells me.
I mean, the Garden of Eden, in a way, was like a market,
right?
You know what I mean? People go for
just
food,
everything.
Mm-hmm. Like this place. Okay, you know.
Yeah.
Also, that shit is very frightening, though. When you read all the stories about like a lot of the Chinese New Year celebrations being like canceled to avoid people, a bunch of people getting
movie theaters are
theaters are shutting down.
They're locking down cities that are...
But the World Health Organization's like, no, it's all good,
right.
It's all good, don't worry.
And they're locking down, like, cities that are as large as Los Angeles in terms of population, but that I've, like, never heard of.
Right.
Because
China's
just
so big.
So big. Mm-hmm. So populous. Anyways, we're going to get into all of that later. Actually, I don't know that we're talking about that today.
Yeah, no more snake talk. I'm getting
no more snake
out,
talk.
You know? I don't like the snakes, man.
But first, we have more important things to talk about. A Twitter user, Decoherence Wave. metal name, tweeted that Jared Leto is older than Lev Parnas.
That is something else.
Yeah.
Where do I go? I mean, I look at these two photos. What is going on? It makes me more wonder, what's going on with Jared Leto? I mean, Lev Parnas, I think it's one of those things where Lev Parnas looks older for his age,
Lev
and Jared
Parnas
Leto
looks
is
like
just
shit.
Made
Jared
a deal
Leto
with a snake
to,
in a garden.
Jared Leto really needs to fix his foundation. Like,
oh, is he not blending well enough?
No, it's totally off skin tone.
Oh, yeah, well.
He looks a little like an over-photoshopped. Like, he's got that, I don't know if it's plastic surgery, but he's got that face that looks like it's been photoshopped a couple too many times.
And possibly beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
Lev
face
Parnas,
tuned.
Lev Parnas just is yet another testament to what the corrupting influence of this administration does to a soul. And how that can bleed out under the surface. Because that dude is like 47, I think.
Oh, boy.
He looks...
And it doesn't even look like he drinks. Like, you know how they get the red nose, the...
Right. Yeah.
The blush.
I think he said he doesn't drink, right? In an interview?
I don't know.
Or maybe I'm mistaking that. But also, Alfonso Ribeiro, Carlton from The Fresh Prince, also older than Lev Parnas.
Yeah. Lev Parnas is a young buck. I was also looking for like other examples of this. Samuel Jackson is 2 years older than Karl Rove, which was surprising to me.
That's not fair comparing like white people who have done evil to wealthy black celebrities are not only have a good genetics going for them, but also probably live less stressful because they're not, you know, profiting off of world destruction.
But yeah, I don't know. Lev Parnas, man.
Selling your soul doesn't get you too far.
Nah, well, you really wear it on your face.
Yeah.
I mean, unless Jared Leto also sold his soul and he's wearing it on his face in a different way.
Right.
Depends on who you sold your soul to and what the transaction was for.
It's not so surprising to me that Jared Leto looks good for his age because that his job is looking good for his age.
Right.
So like he has a nutritionist. He has, you know, has a lot of downtime in between acting gigs.
Think he just goes into like a cryo sleep?
Probably.
Like unless he's needed, he like tells his agent, he's like, I have to go into suspended animation to stop the aging process. And please awake me when there's another project.
Right.
He doesn't eat. It's just through photosynthesis.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, with Lev Parnas, like that, if he doesn't drink, which I know he's talked about high, like that guy, John Hyde, was it? Being like drunk all the time. So he's like,
oh, Robert Hyde. Yeah.
Robert Hyde. Yeah. Other male name, Hyde. He talked about him being drunk all the time. I don't know if that means that he's never drunk.
Nah, I think he does. I don't know why I thought. I think maybe I was thinking he didn't drink because he was being so like adamant about how drunk Robert Hyde was. He's like,
right.
Yeah, because that guy gets so fucked up. He says shit like, should we do some harm to this state official?
Right. Because if he doesn't drink, I just want to see what that dude looks like if he did drink. Like what? How hard his face would, how hard living his face would look.
It's
at
just,
this point.
Like, how do you live with yourself? Like, I have a bad day at work. I go home. There goes a bottle of champagne. Just, I don't have the weight of the threat of killing someone or harming someone and yet
ruining the country.
In a way, though, they're just like yucking it up, though. Like when you look at the text, like they're loving it.
Yeah.
So in a way, I don't know if they're living their best life, too.
Right.
Just getting off on the fact that they get to be bad guys.
Yeah. Or in what I think in the narrative of their stories, they are the good guys. And like the Marie Ivanoviches of the world are the bad people because they dared to speak ill of Donald Dump.
Donald Dump.
Yeah.
I like that.
I mean, I'm trying to think, like, Hitler was 56 when he died, so, I mean, he didn't look particularly old. He was also on a lot of amphetamines and shit, so I'm just wondering if pure evil, like, corrodes a soul, like, in a noticeable way.
Hmm.
That would be
worth thinking about. But, yeah. I mean, Donald Trump, like, if that was the case, Donald Trump should have been withered off the face of the earth a long time
ago. Yeah, but I mean, and also then like people like Abraham Lincoln shouldn't have aged so severely. Yeah, when
that's
he was
true.
President.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's all about stress, honestly. I think at the end of the day,
I think the idea that aging is a meritocracy probably not valid, and probably leads to some super problematic conclusions if you follow that chain of logic too
nah.
long. But Left Parnas looks like shit. Is the upshot, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
And we're back. Adam Schiff gave a pretty effective speech to close Thursday session that's getting passed around on Twitter, got passed around on Twitter at the end of last week.
Yeah.
Basically, the summary is if what is right and wrong doesn't matter. We're lost. Which
right, and it doesn't matter what was in the Constitution.
Right.
If the people who are there to enforce it or make sense of it don't give a fuck and right. are actively just burying their heads in the sand because they don't want to face an uncomfortable truth. It was one of those moments where I was like, man, this is really great. And then another part just became so sort of, I don't know, disheartened by the idea that I'm like, none of these motherfuckers care.
Yeah.
They're fucking fidget spinning and doing crossword puzzles and shit. And like Lindsey Graham, you know, at one point, Schiff played a video of Lindsey Graham, like basically showing like, look how contradictory this asshole was. Remember
right.
back when Clinton was being impeached, he had all this shit to say.
Right.
Cut to today, Lindsey Graham walked out. So he didn't have to be a part of it, didn't have to see anything of it. Like, and he left like right before. And a lot of people are saying the senators all get sort of a document that says all of the things that are going to be presented.
Yeah.
So he must have knew his time was about to show up. And he's like, I'm going to go to the hallway to just take a real long pee.
Yeah. Practice my golf swing.
Yeah. And it was just like, look, I have a feeling there definitely are some senators there. I for sure know there are senators who do not like Donald Trump, but it's the same thing. They are just petrified of what he can do to get his base against them.
Yeah, we're going to get into the threats in a second.
Right,
but
so that gets them in line. But I think at another point, there is a bit of humanity because what he was saying was sort of like, yo, if you guys are serious about being like part of this quote-unquote representative democracy, like then you need to really take what we're saying here seriously. This person who's in the White House does not give a fuck about the country. It's everything's about himself. But at the end of the day, I don't know. I mean, maybe there'll be some votes for witnesses, but I would be surprised if there were 67 for removal.
Yeah.
I think with the speech, it wasn't going to change anyone's mind in that room.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty certain that's just not going to happen. But it was really for the American people because Trump's base is so pro-America. And even though it's coming from the enemy, like reminding them, we did not come all this way for nothing, guys. Remember this election time.
Right.
So if anything, it's just a preface to, guys, we all know what's going to happen here. Nothing's going to happen, but we still have a chance in November. Please remember
All these assholes here
with
the right.
Yeah. I mean, he also got into that. I mean, that was specifically what he said. He was like, do you have any doubt that if China, hacks the election and offers to help him get elected, that he will trade America's best interests, like the American people's best interests, for his own personal interest? And like, the answer is, of course, no.
Yeah.
Of course, there's no doubt in anyone's mind.
And like, you're at the wheel and you're still letting that rock?
Right.
I mean, you know, it also shows you just how far gone the Republicans are. Like, there's really, I mean, If they can sit there, even there are pundits on the right, even on Fox, who are saying, I can't see a dimension where none of this evidence like proves the president innocent. Like, if anything, I've only seen everything's been uncontradicted. I don't know what that'll mean to some voters. You'd think maybe there's one or two people who are kind of like, yeah, that's kind of fucking weird. But it seems like you're saying, most people sort of already have their minds made up.
Yeah. Simon Rich's dad, Frank Rich, the New York Times columnist, wrote a thing about like what he was trying to figure out, like what does the future look like long term for Trump's co-conspirators and like the entire Republican Party, and just like looking back at Nixon's White House and like the people who conspired with him, and it was not great for them after Watergate. But he was also looking back to, you know, Nazi Germany and some of the people who conspired there. And yeah, it's an interesting look at that. I think it was in The Atlantic or New York Magazine. But yeah, so speaking of sort of what these Republicans are thinking, there was a report from CBS News that senators were warned that if they break from Trump over impeachment, they will find their head on a pike.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Bro.
Kim, you get it.
Yep.
Who's going to be Ned Stark, huh?
Right.
Let's get a couple of Neds up there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just Braveheart.
Also. Come out of line, you know?
Yeah. Is Sean Bean in politics?
Oh, he should be.
No, he shouldn't.
No.
Not for his sake. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely showing, wow, okay, that's, you know, if this were a trial, that would be more witness jury intimidation.
Yeah, that's basically. Jury tampering.
It's
not though, right? Like they can't be like, that's jury tampering. Because
no, because if they were treated like a real jury, they'd be like, Ron Johnson, get your ass out of here.
Right.
Yeah.
Half these people, they'd be like, what? Like, Mitch McConnell said, I will not be an impartial juror.
Yeah.
That would immediately, if this was jury duty, be like, yeah, get that dude out of here.
Right.
I don't want him on the jury.
Right. Yeah. I mean, right. So the judge in a normal case would declare mistrial, but the judge here is Roberts.
Well, he doesn't have much power.
Right. He can just be like, hey, guys, start being nice to each other.
I mean, he's just more like
serious business.
It's more ceremonial. He's like, okay, the majority leader is recognized, and then I will sit back. And then, because, you know, the Senate could vote, like, even within the Senate, take a vote on, like, you know, being like, hey, why don't you fall back, Chief Justice?
Right.
Like, how are they not able to have their phones? They're not supposed to leave the room, and yet they still are. They have crossword puzzles,
yeah,
like
Apple Watches.
Yeah, Mad Libs to the.
A lot of milk, a lot of cookies.
Mad Libs.
Well,
that would be amazing if they were doing Mad Libs.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's feasible based on how most, like, it's interesting when I was always trying to read about what the observations were of people who saw a lot of their senators. For the most part, people were kind of attentive, but then you have those people who were doing everything they could to just be like, you know,
like fuck you,
looking
without
away,
saying it.
Yeah, or just like, you know, bailing to go like leave the chamber and hang out in the hall for a little bit.
Right before they started, the Republicans like had a big lunch with like fried chicken and burgers and hot dogs and ice cream sundaes, and then they handed out fidget spinners.
Yeah.
Be like, here you go. Don't pay attention. Just fucking
fall asleep, man.
Fuck around.
Be a juror.
Now, okay, to be devil's advocate, these
to be snake's advocate.
Yeah,
I think
to be snake's advocate. Fidget spinners help me concentrate.
Like, okay.
I can understand both sides
of it. Oh, wow. Could you imagine? Like, that's really the secret. They're like, we've got 67 votes to remove the president. Like, those fidget spinners, they were fucking...
Everybody was locked in.
They woke the fuck up. All right, in my mind, it's like mesmerism?
Yeah,
like the fidget spinner, they're looking
Their
at it.
Their eyes have like
you
little swirls
right.
in them.
Yeah.
Was it Susan Collins who was like, yeah, I mean, I'm locked in. I've got like 14 pages of notes. It was either her or Lisa Murkowski. But like,
I mean, either one. I expect some of those senators to be like, yeah, we should have witnesses. You get the witnesses, it's going to be damning testimony. And then they go, yeah, we should acquit them.
Yeah. No, that's for
sure. I tried, though. I tried. And that's what they'll say. But the other thing, like, even though that's his stick he's beating people to get in line with, the other thing he can lure them with is all the fundraising cash, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where he could be like, now, if you stay in line, I can bribe you.
Yeah.
So fucking with the jury either way.
Yeah. Or if not bribing, what dirt do they have on them?
I mean, who knows? That's what's like so alarming too, that there are few people who are willing to take their duty seriously to the point where it's like suspicious. But also the way a lot of people who work with Trump compare the environment of being around him is like a cult.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's half like, wow, we're just sort of like so caught up in this like toxic, intoxicating environment of being near power. Or if there's some people who are like, I can't do the right thing.
Right. So we talked earlier about how Lev Parnas, speculating on what his internal life was like, and Miles, you were saying that like when you look at the text messages, it looks like they're all buddy. But there's a recording that came out of that. I think it's like from a year ago, but it's Trump talking to Parnas and then a bunch of other people who they haven't quite identified.
And I think Igor Fruman, the other dude who was palling around with Lev Parnas.
Yeah. And Trump specifically says about Marie Yovanovitch, get rid of her. Get her out tomorrow. I don't care. Get her out tomorrow. Take her out. Okay? Do it. Take her out is very suggestive language.
Take her out to Olive Garden.
Right?
That's...
Oh,
unlimited
no.
Unlimited breadsticks.
Who was, I forget, one senator was like, oh, that's just New York talk.
That's just New York
so
talk?
So dismissive, yeah. Like when they're like, this is pretty fucking alarming considering everything we've seen around Marie Yovanovitch, the idea that she had to be whisked away because they're like, your safety might be in jeopardy. And then I'd be like, yeah, it's just New York. They just talk differently. You know, they're like being like, yeah, fire her.
Uh-huh.
Take her out.
Yeah, take her out and get rid of her.
And the guy's name is Igor.
Right. Igor.
Yeah, it's, I mean, again, more damning information. It would be great if there could be new evidence submitted. But the tired ass line from all these senators when they come out, when they're trying to spin shit for Fox News, like, you know, I was in there for 13 hours and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
They're saying the same thing.
Right.
And then, you know, most people are pointing out, it's like, yeah, you also voted to not hear anything new.
Right.
You you purposefully obstructed or blocked the any kind of possibility of new evidence or new stories,
right.
New fun stories to hear.
Yeah. So the president's defense team started this past weekend making their case, and the president was pissed.
Yeah, going into the weekend, realizing it's like, oh, fuck. Okay, so the last day for the Democrats to present their case is Friday.
Yeah.
And then the next 3 days is the Republic or the White House counsel. And it's going to be on a Saturday. And because Donald Trump knows TV and is so horny for ratings,
right.
He knows Saturday TV is just an act of aggression against somebody.
Right.
Like, if you have a new show and they're like, yeah, it's going to be on Saturdays, that's a network being like, yeah, fuck you. We don't think this is going to do anything.
Right.
It's a fucking graveyard.
Yeah.
And I think for him to know that, it's got him really pissed because Adam Schiff's been getting, like, the primetime stuff. And now he's tweeting out, after having been treated unbelievably unfairly in the House and then having to endure hour after hour of lies, fraud, and deception by Shifty Schiff, crying Chuck Schumer, and their crew. Looks like my lawyers will be forced to start on Saturday, which is called Death Valley in TV.
Mm.
They got shit to do. Like the honeydew list, everyone has to go build their own mini walls in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
People got to go golf. Like,
yeah.
Just tough shit, honey.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And I think, again, at this point, we don't know exactly what the defense is, but everyone was saying it's like, it's only going to be about 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the thing, too, is their defense is so fucking weak. We don't want anyone to really listen.
Well, yeah, I think this is how the timing worked out, because had it been the 2 days, it may have started today if they had stuck to the original schedule where they're like, yeah, 12 hours blazing speed over 2 days. But since they did over 3 days, I think that gave that's just how the cards fell.
Now, was that because McConnell waited until midnight to submit the rules?
Or? Well, no, he got pressure within his party, what some would have you believe, like from Susan Collins and others who were saying you should allow them to enter the evidence that was from the House investigation into this trial, if it's a trial.
Yeah.
And also, at the very least, give them, don't make us do 1 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
for 2 days. Like, that's just not going to work out. And then he caved on that. It all depends on, I mean, I don't know what the reason is, whether that was to provide cover again, because this is a balancing act for the Senate of trying to be like, we got to protect the president, but not look so fucked up that the vulnerable senators just get blown out and then completely fuck with majorities. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like right now the priority is absolutely just to protect the president.
Yeah. Just get it over with.
Yeah.
Well, Rudy, speaking of protecting the president's main man, Rudy Giuliani,
oh my God,
went on Fox and Friends and was
fucking
on one.
Yo, he, again, I don't know why Fox even invites him back. The last few times they've been like, please stop talking.
Right.
You're making it hot for everyone. You know, he's at the center of this entire scandal, but he's still going on TV saying shit like, on my podcast, like, I'm going on a podcast to release damning evidence against the Bidens of what was going on in Ukraine. And, you know, saying the same old conspiracy shit that was, you know, basically the intelligence community was like, this is Russian propaganda you're talking about.
Yeah.
But you're taking that as reality.
Uh-oh. Yep.
And, I mean, it was a very uncomfortable segment for all the hosts. Like, they repeatedly were trying to just intervene and interject. Be like, okay, let's stop talking. This first clip is just him going off the rails about this dude getting poisoned. I don't even know. Like, and then the hosts are like trying to get him to stop talking. Just listen to this one.
September of last year, Shokin was taken to the hospital with mercury poisoning.
All right, so let me just get a word in. Right. I know you.
And you know that this happens. You know this happens in Ukraine and Russia.
Right. So,
the method of choice is poisoning.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And he's going because Viktor Shokin is one of the prosecutors from Ukraine, who's also helping him out. And then towards the end of it, they're trying to literally be like, "Okay, that's it. End of your appearance." And he cannot stop
won't
talking.
Stop.
He
can't cannot stop. Stop won't talking. Stop.
Telling us not to be corrupt. You know how that hurts the United States of America?
I have a feeling you could go clear till noon when your podcast starts. Rudy, give it up for Rudy Giuliani.
Damn.
They're going to be watching.
That's the real case.
A lot of headlines out of that.
That's only the tip of the iceberg. There are other people involved.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot more money involved.
They're clapping him off.
There was a pattern of corruption there.
And the president wants you to continue this? The president wants to get you to continue this investigation?
Well, would you like me to give it up? Would you like me to just say, okay, Biden can keep his $8 million that he got in bribes. He can keep all the bribes that they got in.
We're waiting for noon.
Should I give it up, Brian?
I'll just leave. Okay.
All right, I'm scared of them attacking me. Okay, there are a bunch of phonies. I did my
own. Okay,
it was like one of the, they were, it was, I mean, if you can find the clips, please watch them.
That is Fox and Friends. They are in the tank for him and his side. And they just.
And they're still like, they even know. That's what you can tell. They know that it looks so fucking bad.
Yeah.
And that's what's so disingenuous about like all the supporters is like, there are moments when you can tell you wouldn't be behaving like that as a host unless you knew what you're saying is like really terrible for the case they're trying to make. You should stop talking because it's objectively clear, even if someone groaned.
Yeah.
Unless
someone's like,
oh God. No, please, guy, stop. Yeah. Every time you say something, it's always something that ends up being a terrible headline.
Right. I was wondering like how the point that Adam Schiff was making in his closing argument last Thursday like would hit the brain of somebody who is still supporting Trump, because it's just like kind of an airtight case. It's like, you know, he's going to cheat. Like,
right.
if he has the opportunity. But like that groan, I think, is instructive that they're like, it's like you're watching a team that you like and they just keep fucking up. And you're just like, oh, shut up.
Yeah,
like,
get him off. Get that pitcher out of here.
And like the, you know, a lot of polls of people, both Republicans and independents, are like, we wish he would tweet less.
Shut
the fuck up.
Because they know, like, because it's always something, I'm sure, when they have coworkers who are not conservatives, go, you see what do you think of that one?
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, you honestly, if you have half a brain, you're like, yeah, I know, dude, just shut the fuck up.
Maybe. Right.
Just let me be racist.
Yes.
Why didn't they just turn off his mic and be like, oh, no, we're having malfunctions or something like that?
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
At that point.
Just throw water on his mic pack.
Pretty much.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
accidentally spill coffee all over him.
I do wonder if he's, because people have talked about him showing up to appearances like that drunk. I do wonder if he is drunk at that. And that's part of the reason that there's like, oh, my God, dude.
I don't know what it is, though, too. Like, clearly, like, there's some kind of mandate to, if Rudy says he wants to come on, let him come on. Because he's so, like, he's lockstep with the president.
Yeah.
And then, but then they always are like regretting it. Or like you can always see how uncomfortable the anchors are, the presenters are, the hosts.
Completely lose control. And he doesn't speak in like quippy sound bites. He just speaks in long run.
Hey, you know, he was poisoned. You know what I mean? Okay, Rudy, please. And I don't know, you know?
Right.
I mean, who was Baby Yoda? Is that Yoda? Is that Yoda and Yachty's baby? Lil Yachty? I don't know.
But yeah. I mean, just like talking to any drunk person or, you know, person whose neurological condition has been rendered such that they seem to be drunk all the time. It's like, you just can't get them to stop talking.
Yeah.
And they're going in like 20 different directions.
All right, Jack,
but every
calm down.
Oh, boy. Yeah, here we go.
It's just like, I mean, you know how it is,
I know.
Right?
Victor Shokin got poisoned, dude, because it's Ukraine. Yeah, I get it, man. Those sound waves in Cuba. I know. What was it, a ray gun?
Oh, it's been a while since we checked back in.
It's been a while.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
And we're back, and there's been some new polling on 538 that is not really very conclusive about the primary, but they are starting to reflect post the most recent Democratic debate, and it seems somewhat inconclusive other than that Bernie's chances have increased from 20% to 25%, they're saying. Biden stayed at 40, and everybody else, I think, is moving in the wrong direction for them. I do want to talk about Pete Buttigieg, though, because so there was a big sort of social media story. I don't know how much it mattered, but the New York Times endorsement that happened last week, or I don't know how long ago that was, actually, but they endorsed Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar.
People with contrasting political views.
Yeah, they're just like,
it just proves that they're too pussy to actually choose a side.
Yeah, right? I think, and also them. I think the if you're like a New York Times apologist, you're like, it actually underscores how divided the Democratic Party is right now, and they're sort of like, look, if you're more progressive, then yes, I think Warren is probably the pick for you. And if you're more of a centrist, like scared person who isn't interested in like all people benefiting from whatever the policies are of the next president, then Amy Klobuchar is your person.
But who likes sick jokes? If you like sick
jokes. Dude, we'll get to those later because
Amy Klobuchar,
my goodness,
has jokes. But one part of the process of the New York Times announcing who they were endorsing was releasing these interviews where the editorial board interviewed each of the candidates. And Pete Buttigieg had not a great performance, specifically when it came to this question about bread. So somebody...
Oh, from his time at McKinsey?
From his time at McKinsey, somebody asked him, if I can put this question a slightly different way, you've been on the front lines of corporate downsizing. You've been on the front lines of corporate price fixing. Whoa, 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 I'm sorry, that's...
The truth.
You've been on the front of our misadventures in foreign policy. You've had direct experience in many of the things that make a lot of young people very angry about the way that this country is operating right now. You don't seem to embody that anger. So the proposition that I've been on front lines of corporate price fixing is bullshit. Just to get that out of the way.
Whoa, Pete. Someone's cooking with spices.
You worked for a company that was fixing bread prices. No. I worked for a consulting company that had a client that may have been involved in fixing or was apparently in a scandal. I was not aware of the Canadian bread pricing scandal until last night. So this all goes back to Pete's. I mean, he just seemed defensive, right? And like,
I mean, the way you read it, yeah. I didn't actually see the clip, but I have a feeling he was like, no, I worked for a consulting company.
He has this undercurrent of anger that like comes through sometimes in debates when he gets challenged, and he smiles, but you can tell like behind the eyes, he's like thinking of how he would kill that person, maybe.
Yeah, I think like most presidential candidates anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's cracks in the veneer. Like, he's not the small town guy he wants to come off as. Like, he has these very shady dealings that you shouldn't know about. How'd you know about that? Please.
Right. Yeah. Why? Yeah. So he worked at McKinsey, which is a consulting firm that has a bunch of a long history of, you know, intervention in foreign markets. They are very closely linked to the CIA.
Really good at downsizing when a company's like, how do I do this? They're like, all right, cut these people out and then you can keep your salary in the C-suite.
Yeah. So one of the things that he was doing, just to get back to the Canadian bread price fixing thing, is he was working for a consulting firm, working with McKinsey with Loblaws. Now, that is a real Canadian grocery store.
That's real?
Yeah.
Like Bob Loblaws Loblog?
Yeah, from Arrested Development. They have a store called Loblaws.
Or is it like, or is Canadian Zygan going to come over and say, it's actually Loblaws?
Oh, that could be it.
Loblaws.
Loblaws.
Yeah,
they are going to say that,
B?
Of course. But he was working on price analysis right in the middle of the price fixing scheme. And by his own description of his work with Loblaws, he was manipulating millions of data points, gathering insights on which ideas were good or bad. So it's very...
What, like slowly increasing the price of bread?
So the way they discovered that there was a price fixing scheme is that overall, like because of inflation and just the general, you know, way that things have gone over the past 20 years... prices for most items increased by an average of 45% at Loblaws, and bread went up 99 or something.
96 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Buttigieg really leans on his McKinsey experience because he's young and doesn't have a ton of experience. So he leans on that as like proof that he can run an economy, essentially.
Oh.
And so he's saying, I was learning about the nature of data by manipulating millions of data points. His campaign...
I could weave stories about possible futures.
Oh, cool.
And gather insights on which ideas were good or bad. He also worked on Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan at the time that he was with McKinsey. And while he was there and working for McKinsey, and they were consulting with Blue Cross Blue Shield, they hiked their rates in January 2009 and fired nearly 10% of its workforce, leading to a lawsuit from Michigan Attorney General's office.
How? But I mean, obviously was he the lead consultant with them as a client? I mean, I think it obviously this is all terrible shit, but I don't know if he's necessarily like the supreme architect of being like, yes,
for sure,
Blue Cross hiked the rates 10%, or like, you know, by this much. Cut 10%, Buttigieg out,
right?
Or whatever. But so, obviously, he's part of the machine that enables this.
Absolutely.
Kind of shit.
So I think the thing that makes people somewhat suspicious of his time with McKinsey is that he was very protective of it and was like, "Yeah, I signed NDAs. I can't talk about like what I did there and like what I was doing." Finally, like after there was enough scrutiny, he was released from those NDAs by McKinsey, who was like, we didn't really care in the first place, man.
It's like, people know about us, bro.
Right. And then I think it's just a matter of like him having a relatively limited data set of like things he can point to. He's so young, and like the only, you know, big policy decisions he's had are, you know, with regards to the small town that he ran. And so he's pointing to his first job out of college type thing, being like, yeah, look, I was running the show there. And then now it's kind of coming back to bite him in the ass a little bit.
Yeah.
So he's had a wine scandal and a bread scandal.
Yeah.
What is his connections to France and big cheese?
Or fish, like Christ.
Oh, right. God.
That's the Catholic Church.
That's how I would pivot.
Right.
Where he's clearly making bread appear. He's turning water to wine caves.
That's how he should and then just like come out with his hands extended.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't think that this is like losing him the primary. I do think that based on like who his supporters seem to be, that New York Times endorsement would have been big for him.
Oh,
like,
he needed that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think people just knew though too, like most millennials just are not interested in Buttigieg as a candidate.
Right.
So they're sort of like,
he doesn't seem sincere to me personally.
Yeah, sure.
Like he just looks like he wants to be a politician. He doesn't really have so many actual policies that he has put out on what he stands behind besides the big, vague.
Yeah. And I remember when first hearing about him and reading all his stats on paper, I'm like, yo, this dude could do something.
Exactly.
And then I'm like, wait a second. Oh, what are your policies? What are your stances? Okay.
It's like meeting a Tinder date. Mm-hmm. Like you vibe so well on paper and you chat and then you meet him and it's just a fucking letdown.
Right.
Like he smells. He's not very
clean. I'm sorry.
Very clean.
I ran out of deodorant.
It's okay.
We're both in committed relationships. We ended up matching on Tinder. Okay. Yeah, full disclosure.
Strictly business.
I was like, oh God, Kim. Okay. This is embarrassing. I smell.
But yeah, I mean, he and Elizabeth Warren are going after the same sort of New York Times reading demographics.
So, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll track his numbers going forward, but it's not great. Not great, Pete. Let's talk about the Catholic Church while we're on the subject of bread and wine.
Yeah.
The saints. So this is like just a headline that seems made up.
It's dark. The AP... Yeah. You know, they've reported a lot on abuse in the Catholic Church, and they just have this report too about how the saints are trying to basically keep documents that were obtained through discovery, because there are about 24 men who are suing the Archdiocese of New Orleans for abuse, for sexual abuse when they were children. And some of these documents, involve the saints. And people are like, what the fuck? What's going on here exactly? And basically, the claim is that these documents show that they aided the Archdiocese of New Orleans in, quote, its pattern and practice of concealing its crimes. So a lot of people are like, these are really damning emails, because the owner of the saints, before he passed away, and his wife, they're devout Catholics. Like I think the Archbishop walked with her at her husband's funeral. And she gives millions of dollars to like Catholic causes in the area. And the Archbishop is like always a regular as like her guest at games. And the saints attorneys are like, look, there's no need for these. There's like they're absolutely not. The team had like nothing to do with helping the church cover up crimes. They said it's outrageous. They also said these emails were like intended to be private and not, quote, fodder for the public. But when you're talking about an organization where money is flowing in and out of there from the people, like locally, and even they're getting subsidies and things like this, they're like, well, hold on, we need to look into this.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there is, but then they start showing, you see, there are little bits of evidence that are out there that show that is not a good sign for, like, you know, the saints and their participation in this.
So they just suck all around.
Yeah. I mean, apparently what they were saying is like, you know, the attorneys for the saints said that they did help the archdiocese when they were like publishing a credibly accused clergy list, but said there's like, no, that was like because we're trying to disclose stuff. We're not trying to hide nothing. We were helping them. But someone from the team was asking a spokeswoman from the Archdiocese whether there might be, quote, a benefit to saying that we support a victim's right to pursue a remedy through the courts. I don't think we want to say we, quote, support victims going to courts, but we certainly encourage them to come forward. And a lot of this,
So it's just like using their marketing and like PR resources.
I think to message.
Like,
I don't think they were being like, "Yeah, we'll shift this person into like a, you know, like a ticket taker position or something like that." I think they're just sort of like, "Hey, you got any help?" I mean, this is why we're still trying to see what exactly is coming out all of this. But yeah, it's pretty dark.
Yeah. By the way, like speaking of why this is in the public interest, Louisiana lawmakers started looking into New Orleans Saints state funding after players protested on the field. So they were like, maybe we won't fund your team then.
Oh, because they have something to say about violence against black people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, I don't think you can trust the AP. They're more like Associated Protestants. More like anti-pope.
Wow. Jack, the Catholic Crusader O'Brien.
Step off, AP. Look the other direction.
When's the last time you went to church?
Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What do you go, like, biannually? Easter, Christmas?
Yeah, thereabouts.
The birth and
anytime
the resurrection?
My family's around. Yeah.
Do you know the song still? Did you pray the rosary like a good boy?
They changed like a bunch of the wording. John Mulaney has a bit about it, but it's almost like to catch you up, like in front of your family, because you
the Hail Mary?
No, they changed like the call and response stuff that the priest does in regular mass. Like,
Lord, hear our prayer.
Yeah, peace be with you, and also with you is now and with your spirit.
Oh, his mercy in earth forever.
Yeah, so you sound like. You know, it's the way that the Catholic cops
Someone goes,
in the back.
Gotcha. Exactly. Fake ass Catholic.
Had it happen to me so many times.
Did your mother look at you in disgust?
She's like, always.
Oh, God,
yeah.
Jack.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Catholic church.
Yeah.
That's what it's there for, is for parents to look at their children and be in disgust and remind
them. Feel the
guilt. But the body of Christ tastes great. I always like those little chip things.
Yeah.
The wafer.
Yeah.
Wafer. Let's talk about a mystery that has been confounding authorities and the zeitgeist for years.
Natick, Massachusetts.
The parking lot pooper.
They have finally arrested
the worst Batman villain.
51-year-old Andrea Grosser. She is allegedly, kept pooping outside of the same sporting goods store about eight times. And she's being charged with eight counts of wanton destruction of property. I didn't realize pooping was wanton destruction of property, because you can clean it up, you know? You
but
can wipe the poop off.
Do you want to touch it afterwards, though?
Depends on what got poop on it. You know what I mean? If it's a priceless thing, you know what I mean?
Depends on the kind of poop.
I don't know, man. It's all about how valuable the thing is to you. And this is a whole other topic of discussion.
The structural integrity, I mean.
Yeah.
Like,
well, if you can hose it off.
Right.
Well, can you hose it off, I think, is the first question. Yeah. If I don't have to touch it, I can hose it off.
Anybody who's had a dog knows the...
Yeah.
There's some that are just not good.
Yeah. So what happened was that it all started apparently in December. The store owner was like, called the cops. He's like, yo, I'm looking. He calls described as mounds of feces in his parking lot. And the cops, like when they were first looking at him, they come by. They're like, I don't know. That's got to be an animal, man. It's like a lot of shit. Like, what's going on? But then they found toilet paper and shit and wipes in the area, and then they also the bowel movements, the BMs, were caught on camera, but the license plate of the car was always shielded. So they're like, "Fuck, we don't like we see it." There's this person, we see this lady taking wild shits in the parking lot. So then this is when you love to see police resources going to something worthwhile. They increased patrols in the area in an effort to catch her, and they've literally caught her. I don't know, not literally, but they caught her red-assed, I guess.
Red-handed.
And they pulled up 7 a.m. on Wednesday of last week, got her, and hauled her ass into the county. And the photo, the mugshot,
is the most ashamed looking mugshot. Like I almost feel for her.
Yeah,
she's clearly dealing with something that's not like that. She just doesn't have control of right now.
I mean, look, the most cynical way is she gets off on taking shits in parking lots. Right. And she hates the owner or some shit.
Right.
And then she got caught and she feels bad she got caught. Or, yeah, maybe she's going through some shit and that's the only way she can poop.
Right.
At first, like, just from the headline alone, I was thinking maybe she's like a jogger.
That's what I thought,
that one,
too.
That woman in Colorado.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because that has happened to me on a trail.
Yeah.
And not front of a house.
Yeah, no, jogger yeah, right. jogger poops.
It just,
I get it.
You can't stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can't stop it.
But this is her driving.
And it's happened to you by saying it's happened to you 8 times at the same place, right?
Yes.
At
the same parking lot.
Yes,
over and
exactly.
over
in Massachusetts.
At 7 a.m. But for her to get in her car, to bring wipes.
Yeah, that shows you, that's where I'm like, this is vandalism, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to, I don't know what happened. Like, the guy sell you a shitty racket or something, like
right.
a tennis racket, the wasn't right, the hockey shoulder pads weren't good enough. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm still going to side with her on this one, guys.
But her hygiene's great.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because whenever I hear people doing, like, wild shits out in the open world, like, who are doing, like a jogger pooper, I'm always like, are they not wiping? Are they not coming prepared? So, you know.
She could be the new spokesperson for, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. What's that? Metamucil or something?
Dietary health.
Yeah. Fiber One.
Yeah.
Take Jamie Lee Curtis off the yogurt
commercial.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
No, don't do the Activia. You'll take a dump in a parking lot and bring your wipes. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Well.
Solved.
Wrap that up.
Kim, it's been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you?
I am on Instagram and Twitter at the underscore red dot, and Facebook, Reddit, basically anywhere that you can see webcomics. I try to be one.
And is
you're
there,
not trying, you're doing it.
Straight up.
There it is.
Aww.
Is there a tweet or other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Maybe. Like, I was scrolling so much this morning trying to find something good, but it feels like my feed is really just trash. So
we love trash.
All right. Well, here's some good trash. From Philip Henry at Major Celebrity. Someone, I'm in town. New Yorkers. Oh, my fucking God. That's so great. Have fun. And I know that's New Yorkers, but I think that applies to everywhere.
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also on my other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, talking about 90 Day Fiance. Check that one out too. Some tweets that I like, man, I got a few that I'm liking. First up is from Ivyani at IVIEANI. Says A Tribe Called Stressed. I like that one. Also, Ginny Hogan, at Ginny Hogan _. Whenever a guy goes down on me, all I can think is, I deserve this. And another one from Hannah Dickinson. It says, I don't think my friend would have sex with her brother, but I also don't know why she poses with him like that.
That's so weird. Some tweets I've been enjoying. At Shosh Magosh tweeted, one time I was my college's mascot to a basketball game. Emphasis on one time, and then there's just a video of the worst mascot ever.
Really?
Yeah, they're just not doing anything. They're just standing there, and it's really surreal to see. Like, at one point, they're just sitting in the crowd, just watching the game. It's Colgate. And then No Tech Ben tweeted, one idea for the NBA is to have announcers who enjoy watching basketball. Which I agree. They should give it a shot. It's a wild idea. You can find me on Twitter, Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on this fine Monday?
Well, actually, I just quickly do want to give a shout out to at Just Jabe Jan, who tagged Jack and I in this tweet of the Amy Klobuchar comedy supercut. And I just have to play y'all a little bit of this clip of the comedic genius that is Amy Klobuchar. you know, we call this workshopping material.
Yeah.
And this is her really nailing the cadence and delivery of this one joke that's is pretty stellar.
He sent out a tweet. He made fun of me for talking about climate change in the middle of a blizzard, and he called me Snow Woman. So I wrote back, "Hey, Donald Trump, the science is on my side, and I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard."
Get him.
Boom.
So
got
I wrote wow. back, "Hey, Donald Trump, the science is on my side, and I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard."
Hey, got him.
So right. I wrote
Whoa,
back.
One more time.
Donald Trump, the science is on my side. Uh-huh. And I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard.
Got him.
Boom.
Sometimes, if you haven't noticed, you use a little humor.
Different setup.
Like when he called me Snow Woman at my announcement in the middle of that thing, I wrote back on Twitter, "I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard."
So- in a blizzard.
What is the pronunciation of blizzard?
She was just emphasizing different moments here and there. You know, shout out to comedic queen. You know what I mean? Also, for the song, we're going to go
out.
It
keeps going, doesn't it?
Like, it keeps going. That was halfway.
Dozens.
Oh, yeah. Oh man.
I mean, Rudy should get together.
Oh, yeah.
Battle it out.
Called the circle talk
yes.
tour.
There's nothing cooler than reading a tweet that you did one time. Be like, hey, and then I tweeted.
I'm going to start saying that shit out loud.
Right.
Okay, so this track we're going out on is from Andy Schaaf. We've done a track. I wrote out on one of his songs earlier. He's from Regina, Saskatchewan. And this track is called Neon Skyline. It's just got, you know, it's moody, man. It's Monday. I just love it. And I like his music, too. A few listeners from the area were saying he's one of the greats from out there. So, you know, shout out to Canada. And shout out to people in, like, Newfoundland. I know there's, like, a wild-ass storm out there. I've heard from some of y'all. So I'm glad you're safe.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for today. Go Portland. Go buy tickets for our show.
Could be sold out by now, though.
You know I think what I mean? I think they were actually. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Sorry.
Portland's probably sold out.
But hey, maybe you can wait at the door. You know, you never know.
Yeah. Oh, Chicago.
Chicago. Get your tickets.
Yeah.
We're coming for y'all soon, too.
Yeah.
DC, New York also. Check out dailyzeitgeist.com, though. We got the ticket links over there.
That's going to do it for today. We will be back this afternoon and then tomorrow with more podcasts. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
He has rose for one glass of Merlot when she left. Oh, I'm just fine. I'm wasting time. Sometimes there's no better feeling than there.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.